over in a few moments to a few verses in Matthew. Mark chapter 16. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. And then we'll go over to Matthew chapter 28. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And if you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through 10. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings, rejoice," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Tuesday, March the 24th to be exact, tragedy struck in the French Alps. Many of you heard about this. A German Wings airliner struck the side of the mountain with 150 precious souls on board. It took place 430 miles southeast of Paris. On board were 144 passengers and 6 crew members. Among the victims were 2 babies. Also among the victims were 16 German high school students and their 2 teachers. They were just returning from an exchange program in Barcelona. They were coming back to Dusseldorf. Little did they know that morning, as they got on the plane, that in just a few short moments, their life would come to an end. And I can't begin to imagine how the families are feeling right now. The pain, the grief, the sorrow, the loss that they're going through right now. Having lost their family members in such an unexpected way. As the details of this tragedy have unraveled, come out, over the past 2 weeks, we've discovered the real reason behind the crash. There was no mechanical failure. These airliners have a great safety record. Here's what happened. At 10:01 a.m. on that morning, this Airbus A320 left the Barcelona airport. It reached a cruising altitude of 38,000 feet. And then all of a sudden, it began an 8-minute descent to 6,000 feet, where it smashed into the side of a mountain. It appears that the 27-year-old co-pilot, Andreas Lubitz, brought this plane down. He took his own life, and he took the life of 149 precious souls, all because he wanted to end his life. Such a senseless way to end one's life and the life of those around him. When they discovered the black box and they started listening to what took place those last moments before the plane came down, they heard The pilot, who had left the cockpit for just a few minutes, they heard him banging on the door. "Andreas, Andreas, open the door, open the door. What are you doing?" And in the background, you could hear the horrified, terrified screams of the passengers. At that moment, the pilot and all the passengers, they knew that the unthinkable was going to happen. They knew they were going to die. Death came unexpectedly that day. And when the plane hit that mountain, it hit it at such a force that there was no way that anyone could possibly survive. There was no hope whatsoever. 2,000 years ago, a tragedy happened in the city of Jerusalem. An innocent man was put to death. His name was Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, which means the God who saves. He was only 33 years old. Many of his followers witnessed his crucifixion and his death on that Friday, the day that the Passover lamb was to be slain. To his followers, to his closest disciples, to everyone else, it appeared that the life of a truly great and godly man, a humble teacher and prophet, had come to an end, tragically come to an end, at the hand of some Roman soldiers. Bloody and bruised, almost beyond description, this innocent man named Jesus was crucified. He was nailed to a cross, hanging from that old wooden cross. And finally, 6 hours later, Jesus, who was mockingly called by many the King of the Jews, he died. And there were many around the cross that day, and they heard this man named Jesus say this, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And many of those people there, they thought that God had abandoned, that he had forsaken this great man. Something horrible happened that day. A great man of God had died. And humanly speaking, there was no hope, no hope whatsoever. But 2 days later, early on Sunday morning, some faithful followers of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, they had bought some spices and they wanted to take those spices to anoint Jesus' dead body. This was one of the last great acts of love that they could show to their great leader. On the way, they were talking about this issue. How in the world? We saw them put the stone over the entrance of the tomb. How in the world are we going to move that stone away from the entrance of the tomb? And when they got there, they discovered that the stone had already been rolled away. By the way, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. Jesus was already gone. Jesus never had any problem with huge stones. Jesus never had any problem with locked doors. Jesus was gone. He was risen. The reason that the stone was rolled away was so that the women and others could see that Jesus was no longer there, that he was risen from the dead. So they saw the tomb open and they went in and they were startled by this angel sitting there instead of the dead body of Jesus. And the angel gave him a message. He said, "Don't be surprised. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is no longer dead. He is risen. Look, this is where his body was. It's no longer here. Now go tell his disciples what has happened. And tell them to meet him in Galilee, just as he told them." So immediately the women fled out of the tomb. They were bewildered. They were speechless. They were trembling. They themselves had been eyewitnesses of Jesus' death, crucifixion, and death. They must have been thinking, there's no way. There's no way that Jesus could be alive. It's just not possible. How could this be? I want to believe it. I need to believe it. But can it really be true? And quickly, as they were hurrying away from the tomb, they were running to tell this great news, this message, give this message to Jesus' disciples. As they were running, they were filled with fear, and yet they were so joyful. And they thought, it must be true, it must be true. And then all of a sudden, Jesus met them on their way back. And he greeted them and said, rejoice! Is that really you, Jesus? You're alive! Jesus, it's really you! And they grabbed a hold of his legs. They held on to him. And they worshiped him. Lord, you're alive. You're risen from the dead. And immediately at that point, it became clear to them who Jesus really was. He wasn't just some great man. He was the risen Lord. And then Jesus reassured them. He said, you don't have to be afraid. It is me. You're feeling me. You're touching me. It is me. I am alive. Now go and tell my brothers. They're not just my disciples. They're my family. They're my brothers. By the way, I forgive them for leaving me, for betraying me. Go and tell my brothers to head to Galilee where we first met, and I'll see them there. On that great resurrection morning, sadness turned into celebration. Sorrow turned into an amazing joy. Jesus was alive, proving who he really is. That he is the Lord. That he is the great I am. Jesus proved to everyone that he is God, fully revealed to us. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the hope of glory. The curse that had been on us all from the beginning of time, the curse of sin and death, was now broken. It was demolished. It was destroyed by the power of the resurrection. And because of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus tells us in John 5:24, he says that we can cross over from death to life. This is what he says. He says, I assure you, those who listen to my message, those who take to heart what I say and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. They will never have to face the death penalty. But they have already crossed over, passed over from death to life, to the promised resurrection life. Now this is the gospel truth. A tragedy happened the day that we were born. We were all born dead. Physically alive, but spiritually we were born dead. We were born dead in our sin. We had that natural inclination to want to live our life our way instead of God's way. And that sin, the middle letter of sin is I, and it's all about me. I am sin. As human beings, we can say that. And the just punishment for our sin is death. We don't deserve the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thank the Lord that Jesus took the punishment which we deserve so that we could have real life and real hope in and through Him. I want to be very honest with you today. I wouldn't be here today if Jesus had not intervened in my life. Just like all of us here, I was born dead. And I was headed down the wrong road very quickly. Maybe like many of you here today, I grew up in church. From the time that I was born, I was in church. My family was in church every time the doors were open. I went to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every other time. My dad was a deacon, still is. We were at church all the time. I went to Sunday school and I went to worship. I knew all about God, the love of God. I had heard all about the love of God. I knew about Jesus and His death and His resurrection. When I was a young teenager, I even walked down the aisle. And I prayed a prayer and I got baptized. But my life didn't change. My life was the same as it always was. I was doing the same things that I did before. Nothing changed in my life. And the scary part is this. I almost fooled myself into thinking that I was okay just because I went to church, just because I had prayed a prayer, just because I had gotten baptized. I thought I was okay. I was a good church kid. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't do all the bad things that some of my other friends did. And I even started believing that maybe somehow, some way, someday, I would get into heaven. And I almost fooled myself into spending an eternity without Jesus. Thank the Lord that Jesus intervened in my life before it was too late. Summer, as I was getting ready to turn 16, I went on a trip with my stepmother and my sister, and during that trip, Jesus broke into my life, and He let me know in clear terms, you're not a Christian. You're not my follower. But I didn't want to believe that. And so over that trip, that week-long trip, I must have said this over and over again, thousands of times. I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And just because you say it, that doesn't mean that you are. And every time that I would say that, Jesus would confront me with the truth once again. He would say, no, you're not. And so I had this spiritual struggle, this tremendous spiritual struggle that whole trip. That was all that I could think about. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I really needed to come to terms with who Jesus said that I was. Well, the weekend after that trip, my uncle, who is a pastor, he was guest preaching at my grandfather's church. And that Sunday, his message was a clear gospel message, and it was like he was talking directly to me. And he shared very clearly the gospel message. He said, God created all of us to be in an intimate, a deep relationship with Him. But our sin, our rebellion against Him, our wanting to live our life our way instead of His way separates us from Him. And he said, there's no way that any of us could pay for our sin. Nothing that we could do that would pay for our sin, leaving us in a pretty desperate, hopeless situation. But then he said, Jesus came and He paid the price for sin. He died and He rose again. And then he continued, my uncle continued to share the good news. He said, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation will have everlasting life. And it'll begin at the point that you accept Him into your life, that you surrender your life to Him. And that life means that you'll have new life, and that life will go on into eternity. You don't have to be afraid of death. Yes, death comes to it because we're human in this world. But you don't have to fear death. You can step out into eternity knowing where you'll go, knowing that you'll be safely in the arms of Jesus. And that was the message of hope and peace that I needed to hear. Let me tell you, I couldn't wait to get down to the front and talk with the pastor that day, to give my heart to Jesus. And so I came down and I talked with my grandfather's pastor, Reverend Pastor Gene Bates. And I said to him, Brother Bates, I need to accept Jesus today. I need Him in my life. And Pastor Bates, he knew me. And he said, Jerry, are you sure? I think you're a Christian. Are you sure? I said, no, I know for certain I am not a Christian. He didn't know the struggle that I had gone through that entire week before. I know that I'm not a follower of Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. So he kneeled down with me at the side of the altar, and I prayed. I prayed a very simple prayer to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I have been living my life my way instead of your way. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died and rose again. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. I surrender. I surrender. I give my whole life to you. And that's when Jesus came into my life. And that's when I became a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus transformed my life. And from that point on, my life truly did begin to change. That night I went home and I shared with my pastor. I said, I got saved today. I came to know Jesus today. Jesus came into my life today. I gave him my life today. And I need to be baptized again. And about a week later, I did get baptized again. This time it was real to me. This time I knew what I was doing. I was doing it because I wanted to show my love for Jesus. I wanted to follow his command to be baptized. And I wanted to show everyone else that now I was going to live my life for Jesus, my entire life for him. And that night, I can still remember this very clearly. That night when I went to bed, as I was going to sleep, God said very clearly to me, the Lord said this very clearly in such a loving way. He said, you're mine now. You're mine. This is the good news of the gospel. When Christ died, we died. You see, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin. Jesus became sin so that we could be made right with God. Our sin, my sin, your sin, was nailed to the cross when Jesus hung on that cross. All the sin of all people of all time was with Jesus, was on Jesus at that time. Jesus took care of it all at that time. I can't begin to imagine the weight of that sin on Jesus. And Jesus did it all because he loves us. We were nailed on that cross with Jesus because our sin was nailed there. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4, he said, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your real life, is revealed to the world, you will share in all of his glory. And through Jesus' death and resurrection, we have been set free from the power of sin. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, he said, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. And remember, the middle letter of sin is I was crucified with Christ. We were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. Now we are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, he set us free from the power of sin, and he has given us a life of victory. And he wants us to live a life of victory, a life of freedom and of victory, not a defeated life. When Christ died, we died. When Christ rose, we rose. When we put our full faith and trust in Jesus, we can experience the real life that he meant for us to live. This is what Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. He says, With Jesus, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the debt that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. Praise the Lord for the power of the resurrection. Praise God that we have real hope and real life in and through Jesus Christ. And that real life starts at the moment that we place our faith in Jesus, and it continues on into eternity. Let's bow our heads.